Today, I'm going to talk about Joseph and his brothers. Some background. If you look at the map on the left of the screen, you see the red line showing Jacob's journey from Haran back to Canaan. And he stopped at Peniel, where he met his brother Esau and reconciled with him. He crossed over River Jordan into Shechem. And there was a tragic event concerning Dinah, Jacob's daughter, in which she was sexually assaulted. And then they had to leave Shechem, and Jacob and family moved southwards to Bethel. And then they moved on further southwards, went through Bethlehem, and finally settled in Hebron. And so this is the journey of Jacob. He settled in Hebron, and the story will start from Hebron, where Jacob and family dwelt there. And I shall read to you Genesis 37, 1 to 14. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father the evil report. So Joseph tells on his brother. When the brother does naughty things, Joseph brings the evil report to the father. So that is not going to put him in good relation with his brothers, because the brother will know that he has been telling to the father about their bad things. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Israel's Jacob loved Joseph more than all his children, because Joseph is one of the youngest son. So there is some discrimination and there is favoritism. And Jacob made Joseph a coat of many colors. And the other brothers didn't have it. So again, you know, there's jealousy because how Jacob favors Joseph, gave him a coat of many colors, and the other brothers don't have it. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. So there you are. Favoritism gave rise to hatred. And the brothers hated Joseph. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet more. Joseph was a dreamer. So Joseph told his brothers the dream that he had. And because of the dream, the brothers hated Joseph even more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream that which I have dreamed. And behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." In other words, you know, in agricultural society, they bind their crops together in sheaves. So Joseph has bound his own sheaves of crop, and each of his brothers bound their own sheaves of crop. And then the brothers' sheaves of crop were bowing to Joseph's sheaves of crop. So that didn't reflect well on Joseph. The brothers hated him because it means that they will have to bow down to Joseph in time to come. And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. There you are. They hated the idea that they are going to bow down to Joseph and pay high respect to Joseph. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. So can you believe it? The sun and the stars and the moon bowed down to Joseph. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamt? Shall I and my mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? So the father was also pretty cross with Joseph about this dream, about stars and moons and sun bowing down to Joseph. He said to Joseph, are we, your parents, going to bow down to you too? And he told it to his father. Yeah, and let me read on verse 11. And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. So his brother was jealous of him, was envious of him. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here I am. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. So there you are. Hebron is here. This is where Jacob and his sons all lived. And then one day, the brothers went to Shechem to pasture the sheep and the flock. And Jacob said to Joseph, I'll send you to Shechem to look for your brother and also look at the flock and come back with news how they are doing in Shechem. So Joseph said, yes, very well. He will go to Shechem to look for his brother. So let us move on and see what happens next. Yeah, so this is the route that Joseph took. So you see, this is Canaan. And here's Hebron, where Jacob and family lived. And then the brothers and the flock went all the way to Shechem here. And so Joseph was sent to Shechem to look for the brothers. And so Joseph traveled from Hebron all the way to Shechem in the north. And then subsequently, he was told that the brothers were actually in Dothan. And so he went further north to Dothan. Yeah. We notice Dothan is further north of Shechem. So altogether, the journey from Hebron to Dothan was 65 miles. It's about 105 kilometers. Okay, from Hebron to Dothan is about 105 kilometers. Well, if you think about traveling from Changi Airport by the ECP and then AYE all the way to Tuas Checkpoint, that's about almost 50 kilometers. So if you travel all the way back from Tuas Checkpoint back to Changi Airport, another 50. So it's about 100 kilometers. So we would say that this distance of 100 km is about from Changi Airport to Tuas Checkpoint and Tuas Checkpoint back to Changi Airport. That's roughly the distance that Joseph traveled to Dothan. And of course, there are further, Joseph went on further travelings from 3 onwards, from 3 here in Dothan. Well, I'm sure many of you would know of the story. He was sold to the Ishmaelites, slave traders, and then he had to travel all the way from Canaan all the way to Egypt, where he was sold as a slave. So he didn't know, of course, that when he traveled from Hebron to look for his brothers, he would end up making a very long journey all the way. Okay, so that's a mystery, yeah? That sometimes we don't know what's going to happen in our life. We think we're going to make a short journey, but it ended up a long journey. And I have my own experience about this short journey ending up in a long journey. So I will go on in my slides to tell you about Joseph. So let's watch the video. The video will show Joseph and how he was favored And on top of being favored and hated by his brothers, he told of his dreams, which made him even more hated, because his dreams basically tells everyone that he's going to be highly respected by his brothers and his parents. Of course, which was prophetic, came to pass further on in the script, in the story in scripture. Okay, so let's watch the video. And I'd like to again highlight in accurate parts of the video, speeches between characters are all made up by movie makers. They've got to make the story flow, and so characters speak to each other. Of course, all those words are not found in the Bible. They are all fictitious. So please be reminded, there are inaccurate parts in speeches, in the events. Places are also not accurate, but by and large, the movie makers have made the story credible, and that's why you can watch it and understand the Bible being sort of transformed into image form. Roughly, there are inaccuracies, but please bear with them and be discerning of the inaccuracies.
When Joseph was 17, he was still living with his father Jacob and his 11 brothers. As you remember, Jacob had 12 sons, 6 by his first wife Leah, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. 2 sons by Leah's maid Zilpah, Gad, and Asher. And 2 sons were by his second wife Rachel's maid Bilhah, Dan, and Naphtali. After years of not having children of her own, Rachel, Jacob's first love, gave birth to Joseph, who became his favorite. Benjamin, his 12th son, was born later. One day, when Joseph returned from the fields, he reported to his father that his brothers had been doing evil things, which only fanned the fire of their jealousy. Except for Benjamin, the brothers already disliked Joseph because he was their father's favorite son. To symbolize his favored position in the family, Jacob had made Joseph a beautiful coat of long sleeves, the coat of many colors. In such a coat, Joseph could not do manual labor as his brothers did. They wore only the drab, sleeveless coats of common shepherds, while Joseph's long coat was a constant reminder that their father loved Joseph more than he did them. Their dislike grew to hatred. Throughout history, Joseph has been referred to as the dreamer, and dreams in those ancient biblical times had far more significance than they do today. Many people believed it was one important way in which the supernatural world communicated with us, a way that God talked to people. This was extremely important in the life of Joseph. One day, he was out in the field with his brothers when he had a dream. In Genesis 37:6, he told his brothers, "Listen to this dream that I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright. Then your sheaves gathered round it and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to have dominion over us?" And so they also despised him because of his dreams and his words. Then Joseph had another dream in which his brothers all bowed down to him, and when he told it to them, their hatred grew to rage.
So there you see the relationship between Joseph and the brothers, not good, because the father favored Joseph. And on top of that, Joseph was rubbing in the hatred. Yo, the brothers are going to bow down to me. You know, I'm going to be someone who's great. And you, my brothers, are going to highly exalt me. So the brothers hated him, didn't want to talk to him, didn't have anything to do with him. So if you look at my little flow chart here, favoritism gives rise to jealousy and hatred, which in turn gives rise to violence. And if you look at prior to Jacob, we've got Isaac, who favored Esau, and Rebecca favored Jacob. Yes? And what happened in that case? And Isaac was going to bless Esau because Esau was a favorite of Isaac, and Rebecca overheard it and wanted Jacob to get the blessing of Esau, and she got Jacob to trick the father to bless Jacob. Why? Because Rebecca was jealous. Yeah? Jealous that Esau is going to be blessed and not her favorite, who was Jacob. And after the blessing, Esau found out there was immense hatred for Jacob for stealing his blessing. And he threatened to kill Jacob the moment Isaac, the father, died. So jealousy, hatred gives rise to violence. That's what Esau threatened to do, to kill Jacob. And Jacob ran away. He had to flee because he was fearful of being killed by Esau. And he got into this matrimonial mess. He had four wives, and the four wives started fighting with each other because they wanted to give birth to sons. And at first, Leah was giving birth and not Rachel. And then Rachel started to bring in the maid servants to consummate with Jacob and to give birth. And so a lot of jealousy, a lot of hatred among the four wives. The more children you give birth to, the other spouses will get jealous. Yeah. So, and they will hate the spouse that has given birth to more children. And then, now we have the story of Jacob, who favored Joseph among the sons. There was jealousy and hatred by all the other brothers for Joseph, because Jacob favored Joseph and gave him multicolored coat. And as we go on in scripture, you read there is violence among the brothers for Joseph. Huh? So let's move on and see what happens. The brothers threw Joseph into a pit. Let me read to you Genesis 37, 15 to 36. So all this favoritism is no good. There is biblical record for us. So many events which started with favoritism ended with jealousy and hatred and even violence. So let me read Genesis 13, 15 onwards. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field, and the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" So this is when Jacob has already reached Shechem, looking for his brothers. And then a certain man found Jacob wandering around Shechem and asked him, "What are you looking for?" And he said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." So Joseph asked, "Where is his brother, and where are the flocks?" And the man said, "They are departed hence, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast have devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. So Reuben was trying to save the life of Joseph. He said, just throw him in the pit. Don't kill him. Yeah. Because we don't want any blood here. We don't want to be responsible for the death of Joseph. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. So they were still angry with the coat. They took off the coat from him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, and going to carry it down to Egypt. So these are traders, you know, they trade all sorts of commodities, including slaves. Yeah? And they were going down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Judah said to his brothers, why should we kill our brother and hide his blood? You know, come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. So Judah persuaded the brother not to kill Joseph, but to sell him to the Ishmaelite traders. And his brothers was very happy with that suggestion. Yeah, they were all contented. Then there passed by Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. So in those days, life was cheap, 20 pieces of silver, and you get a human being. And Joseph was sold as a slave, and they brought him to Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. So Reuben was mistaken that the brothers killed Joseph. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. So to conceal what happened to Joseph, they very cleverly dipped Joseph's multicolored coat into goat's blood to make it seem as though Joseph was attacked and eaten up by wild animals. So that was the deception they're going to tell Jacob the father. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. So they brought the bloodied coat to the father, Jacob, and asked the father, is this Joseph's coat? So they want Jacob to use his own conclusion that Joseph was attacked and devoured by wild animal. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast have devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Very sad, because Jacob was quite sure that Joseph has been torn apart into different pieces by the wild animal. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. Very tragic for a father in such an old age as Jacob to have to mourn for the death of his favorite son. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, and he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. So what I want to emphasize here is, again, a very sad, tragic event that Jacob had to experience, that of the death of Joseph, yeah, his favorite son. Of course, he didn't die, but at that point in time when Jacob mourned for Joseph, he must have been wretched, absolutely inconsolable. And it's a very sad thing for any parents to observe when their child have died. Okay, now I would like to go on with the video, and I would like you to watch how the brothers seized Joseph and then threw him into the pit and sold him off to the slave traders. Okay, let us watch. Again, I would like to caution you on the inaccurate parts, the speeches between the characters. Some of the events may not be so accurate, but by and large, the main thrust of the story is there. So I would like you to watch, especially towards the end, where you watch Jacob mourning, inconsolable. He cannot be comforted by his children. Sadness for parents whose children have passed away.
David! Shimon!
So it was that when they were out tending the flock one morning and they saw Joseph approaching in his elegant coat, they said, "Let's kill him and get rid of him once and for all." But Reuben, the eldest brother, argued, "No, let's not kill him. Shed no blood. Why don't we just throw him into this dry well here in the wilderness?" Reuben's plan was that when the brothers had all gone, he would come back and rescue Joseph and return him to his father. So that's what they did. They grabbed Joseph and tore off his coat and threw him down the deep pit. Sometime later, when Reuben was away, the other brothers saw a caravan of Ishmaelites approaching. And Judah said, "What's the profit in slaying our brother? After all, he's our own flesh. Why don't we just sell him to the Ishmaelites?" They all agreed and hauled Joseph out of the well and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Then they decided to cover up their crime by killing a goat and dipping Joseph's beautiful coat in the blood to make it look as though Joseph had been killed by a wild animal.
זאת מצאנו. הקרנה, הקטונת בן היי הם לא.
When the brothers showed the bloody coat to Jacob, he was convinced that his beloved Joseph had been devoured by a wild beast. As the Bible tells us in Genesis 37:34.
Then Jacob tore his garments and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. Thus his father wept for him.
do you see the sad events that led to much violence and threat to kill Joseph? Why did the brothers want to kill Joseph? I have a question here. Answer, the brothers were jealous of Joseph because Joseph was Jacob's favorite son. The brothers also hated Joseph, who told them that one day his brothers and parents will bow down to him to honor Joseph. So let us have some self-reflection here. Were we the victims of favoritism when we were young? We were young once. I mean, we are all now adults, some older, some younger, but we recall our days when we were boys and girls, and we have parents, and how did we relate to our parents and our siblings? Can you recall who your favorite, who the favorite sibling was? The one that your parents loved most, or the one that your father loved most, or the, your mother loved most? If you are not one of them, then you are the victim of favoritism because you are not loved. Well, jokes aside, I think we have gone through some of this type of relationship when we were kids. Or were we the favorite? If you were the favorite, then nothing is amiss. Things are just rosy and you just live life in cloud nine. And let me confess to you, I was the favorite. I was favored by my grandfather because I was the eldest son. So in those days, the Chinese favor the eldest son. They will bring the family name forward in terms of the generation. Do we practice favoritism in the family? What about now? Do we practice favoritism in our family? As parents, do we also have special son or daughters that we like? Do we practice favoritism at the workplace? Do we like favorite certain employees or staff at the workplace? We are the boss and then we favor certain staff who report to us and not others who are not so good in their work. Naturally, we favor those who are good at work and carry out the task properly, fulfill the responsibility, and deliver their work on time. So we favor those staff. Yeah. And when you were young, were you jealous and hateful of your sibling who was the favorite? I think it's quite natural. And because coming back to myself, yes, I think my siblings were quite jealous and hateful of me. How did I know? I only knew of it a few years ago when my younger sibling poured out all her grievances about how she was at the shorter end of the stick. And I was quite surprised, actually, that there was actually such jealousy and hateful feelings. Because naturally, when I was a boy, I knew nothing of it. I just know that, well, I've got loving parents, loving grandparents to me. And I just went on life, as it were, rosy, not knowing that my siblings had the shorter end of the stick. Yeah, they wouldn't get certain gifts, they wouldn't get certain food, and so on and so on. So yes, you will have jealousy. And so it is now in your own family. If you favored a certain son or certain daughter, the rest will be jealous, and they will hate the favored child because they are victims. So Let us look at the next question. Were you jealous and hateful of your colleague who was a favorite? Okay. You have colleagues at your workplace and they are favored by their bosses. Are you jealous? Are you hateful of your colleague who was your favorite? So favoritism leads to jealousy and hatred. Yeah. And that's quite evident. And so I would like you to reflect on your own family, your own children, how you treat them. And even at your workplace, how do you treat your staff? Are you treating some of them with favoritism? And of course, that will not be a good situation to be in, because that will create a lot of jealousy and hatred among the other people. Let us move on. Let us move on in Joseph's case. Why did the brothers not kill Joseph? The brothers were persuaded by Reuben not to kill their own brother, Joseph, but to just throw Joseph into a pit. So we read that in Genesis 37, 22. Then the brothers sold Joseph as a slave to the Ishmaelites. And the brothers went to Jacob to tell him that Joseph had been devoured by a wild animal by showing Joseph's bloodied coat. Jacob was very sad and refused to be comforted. So we see in Joseph's case, the whole run of the bad result of favoritism. Yeah, it ended up getting Joseph almost killed. Not to say that he was sold as a slave to the Ishmaelite slave traders and thrown into a pit. And what we see at the end of it, a lie had to be told by the brothers to the father. Joseph has been killed by a wild animal. And that was very sad for Jacob. You saw the video, how he cried and he wrenched his clothing and he refused to be comforted that his favorite son has been killed, eaten up by a wild animal. No parent could be comforted if their child met with fatality. Even today, we see news of a child being killed, accident, and other events leading to the death of a child. It is tremendous impact on the parent. It takes a long, long time to heal. So, we have to contend with this story that Jacob had to be in such a situation to think that Joseph has been killed. What a sad conclusion to this event. And it came about because his sons told a lie that Joseph was killed. What a terrible tragedy that the sons had to lie to their father for getting rid of Joseph. That's terrible. See how favoritism can lead to terrible events, deception, and trickery in the case of Jacob and his children. And what a shame that it actually happened in the life of our patriarch, Old Testament, biblical story in scripture. Important for us to learn that we should not do the same. We should not practice favoritism in our family or at the workplace and see how terrible the results may be in the case of Jacob and his sons. Let us move on. Spiritual lesson. I took this from today's newspaper report published December 16, 2017. Parents are sometimes guilty of practicing favoritism with their own children. This could range from just siding with one particular child in arguments to as serious as punishing one child more than the others for no obvious reason whatsoever. So it is true. I mean, if you think about it, even in your own family, your children, how do you treat them? Yeah. Or even when you yourself were a child, how were you treated by your parents? Are you the favorite child or the victimized child? Okay. I'm sure you are able to reflect on that yourself. And Ms. Swani Koo, a marriage and family therapist in relationship matters, explained that parental favoritism can have detrimental and long-lasting effects on children. Issues of favoritism do not go away if they are unaddressed. Many adults remember how they were unfavored when they were children. Very true. In my case, my sibling remembered how they were unfavored and not treated well. This affects their sense of self and their relationships in adult life. Very true too. It came out in adult life that they were badly treated when they were a child. Also, having been unfavored as a child can create a strong desire to fight back. That's right. And I speak that again with experience, how victimized child will fight back in their adult life and refer to the bad treatment they got when they were a child. And that's why in adult life, they fight back. Yes? So how do we deal with the issue? Take a step back and evaluate your emotions underlying those actions that may have favored one child over the other and make repair. Apologize and acknowledge how you have caused hurt and make changes. This is advised by Ms. Koo. Do not just let it slip or get defensive. Instead, address the issue and give ear to your child who has brought it up and talk about the issues. When issues are not dealt with, they could cause further resentment in the relationships. Ms. Koo added. So there you are. We should not just sweep the issue under the carpet and hope that it rests. No, children remembers. Children remember until they are adult, and in adult, they will fight back. So don't allow it to smolder. The fire will ignite in later life. And that is not what we want to see. We want to have a happy family. We want our children to love one another, to get along well with one another. So as parents, we have to manage it carefully. Yeah, we cannot favor one and victimize the other. And the others will see, and they will remember how you have been unfair, how you have been biased, and how you have treated them badly, shabbily. So let me move on. Okay. Interesting event here, or story. I also took it from news on favoritism in the workplace. Ling was an exceptional employee in the sales team of a banking corporation. Her boss, Ivy, had enjoyed their first conversation and from the start had a liking for Ling because she was extremely bright. So Ivy gave Ling more work than the others on the team because she felt that Ling was more capable, more able to cope. At the same time, Ling was showered with praise for her achievements and attitude. Other members of the team felt cheated, became despondent towards Ling. Ling herself felt uncomfortable as well as unfairly overworked. The reality of the situation in the workplace is, as a boss, you look out for good workers, and you trust your good workers, and you praise your good workers, and you reward your good workers. How does a good worker feel? A bit embarrassed, but in a way, uncomfortable, because the good worker is bearing the heavier burden because you have given the good worker greater responsibility and more work. Because you know that the good worker is able to deliver, the other workers are not. And the good worker is bearing a much heavier workload, more responsibility, and it's only a matter of time that the good worker will break. The end result was that the performance of the other members of the team declined along with morale, and Ling ultimately gave her notice and took her exceptional skills elsewhere. She was so overcome, so overwhelmed with extra loading that she tendered her resignation and went elsewhere. Usually good workers, they don't complain. Huh? They just take and take and take. Whatever workload you give it to them, they will just do it until the feather that breaks the back of the camel, and then she tenders her resignation and leave for another place. So what is the spiritual lesson here? That if you favor a staff and you give more work and responsibility to the staff, it is not necessarily a good thing, because the staff would leave. Too much responsibility, too much workload. And I'm not speaking from just Ling report here. I have just come across an incident in my workplace. A thing like that happened. Yeah. And we are not just looking at one good staff. Many good staff have left. And I work with good staff. And I really am saddened that we have lost a good staff, because this good staff was really meticulous and non-complaining and did her work very well. So if you have good staff, don't overlook your good staff with work. It also is not a good idea to praise your good staff in front of everybody. You're just going to bring on people who are jealous, and the good staff will be hated because of your praising. So what you can do is you can highlight good performance without attributing it to any particular staff, and also encourage your other staff to do better without putting them down. Naturally, I know it's not easy to manage staff. There are a lot of things involved, a lot of human factors involved, and it is not easy to manage staff, I know. So spiritual lesson here is, be careful of practicing favoritism. Give me a minute. Be careful of practicing favoritism, because it can lead to many troubles. Yeah, not only in your family at this point in time, but also later on in life when your children grow up. And same thing with your workplace. Favoritism can also lead to many trouble in the workplace. So be careful, and let us end in a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for this lesson on favoritism. How Jacob, in practicing favoritism over Joseph, heaped upon himself so much trouble, hatred, and jealousy among his sons. Lord, we pray for wisdom, how to manage our own children, how do we be fair to our children. There are some children whom we love, and some we love less. Naturally, because some children are easier to control, are more well-behaved, and perform better in school, there's a tendency to love those children. Children who are naughty, disobedient, we do not love. So help us, Lord, to manage them and love them just as much as you love us, because thou lovest us even though we are sinful. We are hateful in our words and deeds, but thou loved us. So in the same way, as parents, we should love our children equally, even though they are spiteful, disobedient, and not hardworking. So help us to love our children as much as thou hast loved us. We ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen.